It is, of course, Shabbat, Yom Kippur, and the Torah portion that we heard there this morning came from Bamidbar, Numbers 29:7 through to 11. From the Haftarah portion, the prophet of Isaiah, Yeshayahu 58:1 through to 14, and Masonic writings there from that open letter to Jewish communities, so-called the letter of Hebrews, and that was chapter 9:6 through to 15. Sacrifice, of course, at the core of all of our readings this morning. Core, of course, because sacrifice lies at the very heart of what Judaism is all about. And as we hinted at earlier there, as the scriptures there, the Haftorah portion was saying that, you know, it would be better for us if we didn't have to fast and come before God and in this way and offer our sacrifices, that a much better way would be the way of obedience, and yet we still can't seem to get our heads around it. This day, the deepest day of our introspection and self-evaluation, the day which comes round every year. People I know, even in this community, so often, you know, we catch ourselves thinking, do we say Chag Sameach, or how do we do this? And then there are other Hebrew phrases that we can use. It's a high holy day. And yet, unlike other religions out there where their high holy days seem to be one ending party, Yom Kippur is anything but a party. And I've said this to you before, that I don't look forward to Yom Kippur. I'm distressed at Yom Kippur. There's something in my soul and in my spirit on a day like this. I don't get excited 2 or 3 months ahead of it as we're coming into the autumn. I don't get excited about this day in the same way that I would say for Sukkot, Simchat Torah, the rejoicing in the Torah, the worship and the praise and the... I don't look forward to Yom Kippur. And there's something in my flesh, there's something which fights against it, I think, every year when we come round to this. And it's not just the fact of fasting during this day. It's not just that. There's something about Yom Kippur which presents me, challenges me, and I'm sure you too, to actually recognize who and what we are. And it's not pleasant. It's not good. It's necessary. It is necessary that we are here today doing Yom Kippur. But I don't enjoy it. Who actually likes to be presented with the reality of who they are? It breaks my own heart. It distresses me to see who and what I am. And then, of course, we are distressed because we know the upshot of who and what I am means that there was one who had to die because of who and what I am. That's the reality. Took my death into himself. Every last bit, he drank that glass to the bottom. Absorbed it all, took it all, everything that was mine. And if you were perfect, and I was the only human being on this earth that had sinned, the incredible reality is that God would still have sent his son to die for me. Even if it was only for me. The Torah confronts us again and again with the reality of what this day is. For the soul that sins shall surely die. And we have all sinned, and we shall all surely die. Until we reach that moment of eternity, until we are translated, if we're still alive when Yeshua comes and our bodies are translated into that eternal body which will become ours, until that moment when death no more will have its claim on us. We live with that death in our bodies every day. We live it today. The reality of this fast today is the reality that we are living a life that ultimately physically is dying because of sin and its impact. I want to put it to you that even amongst Messianic Jews, certainly amongst other believers, and certainly out there in the world, there is one word which right now today is not that fashionable, and it is the word sin, isn't it? No one really wants to talk about it. I think I would suggest even for us as Messianic Jews and as Jews, there comes a point even through our regular Shabbat services and prayer meetings and everything else that goes on, our daily Amidah, we are familiar with it. We are used to talking about sin, so much so that on a normal basis, it doesn't smack us between the eyes anymore. And it should, because it's serious. It causes death. And yet we are presented again, even on a day like this, with our liturgy, as we were praying down and declaring this morning, again, let's remind ourselves, the soul that sins shall surely die. It does not say the Jewish soul that sins shall surely die. Every single human being is affected by this. The fact that we are here at Yom Kippur today is merely a recognition as God's people that we understand why everyone is dying out there. We know why. That's why we're here. That's why we're reflecting on it today. Jewish people and Judaism does not have a monopoly on sin or death. It affects every single human being, regardless of who they are. All are made in His image. All have been affected by sin, and sin today mars that image of God in every single human being, regardless of who they are. Sin is global. It is a universal plague that is touching all humanity. It does not just touch us as God's people. He's merely called us into existence to show this world that He has an answer to mankind's problem of sin. We are a nation set apart, but we are a nation that is not disconnected. We know the what's and why's and how's. The list that we went through, the Al-Khet, the Ashamnu last night, the A to Z of the sins that we've certainly committed, if not one of us, then the other certainly has. What I find so intriguing about a list like this is that as you go through it, you discover that this is not actually a Jewish list of sins. Did you notice it didn't mention about keeping Shabbat or breaking Kashrut? It was pride, jealousy, mendacity, all of those sins that we went through there. These are global sins that all mankind will find their connection with in that list, because sin is global. It is not merely restricted to us as His people. And you don't have to have 20/20 vision, frankly, in today's world to realize of the inevitable conclusion of all of this, that things in this world are not what they should be. We are confronted daily with situations and events that are simply wrong. They should not be. They should not exist in this world. They don't fit into a pure vision of what this world and creation can be, should be, will be. A world without pain, a world without harm, a world without injustice, a world where kindness and mercy is on everyone's lips. Imagine living in a world like that. We understand the world should be like that. We know it should be a world without pain. There should not be injustice. There should not be harm. We should not be hurting each other. And the prophets, as they looked around, even in their own days, in their own world, the prophets looked around and realized that something was badly wrong. And it wasn't just that us, that we as Jews were sinning, that was causing God's judgment to come upon us. They could see this global impact that was ripping the world apart through various nations and empires that were around them. And it moved our prophets again and again, as we were hearing this morning, to denounce evil. But all of us, as human beings, all of us look around and know that something is wrong. This is not the world that it's meant to be. It's messed up. It's ruined, it's broken, it's corrupt, it's falling apart before our eyes. And humans are doing it. And we don't stop. Something is wrong. And every time some humanist comes up to me and says, "But Rabbi, human beings are good." Honestly, I'm left speechless. There is not even a simple answer that you can give to a statement like that, except open your eyes and you will know it isn't true. And I doubt it's even true in their lives. I think if you began to dig a little bit in your average humanist life who believes that mankind is good, I suspect in their personal life it wouldn't take too many minutes before you would hit something and you'd go, "But that's not good. And you did that." We're all in this boat together. All in this wonderful boat of creation that God has given to us. And I don't know how many, was it 600 million people or how many people are on the earth right now? I don't know the number, but each and every one of them has got a drill in their hand. They're drilling in the bottom of the boat that we're all sitting in. And it's going down rapidly. Something is wrong. We want to put it right. And it's not just us. I mean, we've got to be fair in the middle of all of this. It's what drives so many people to want to put it right. It's what drives your green warriors to go and save the Amazon and things like this. It's what drives people to get into politics. It's what drives people to get involved to do something. It's what drives people to get involved to try and stop domestic abuse. And the list goes on and on and on. It's a huge list. What motivates people is they're looking around and looking at all of these things and they're crying out to say, "This is wrong. It's got to stop." And the one word that no one mentions is sin. Because that is what lies at the bottom of it all. And we need to declare it loud and clear. That we must not accept the status quo of this broken and deformed world. If we accept this as normal, if we look around and think that that's the way life is, if we give up the fight, if we stop the struggle, we surrender to a reality that just demeans what it means to be human, to be alive, and demeans the very image of God in every single person. We must not give up that fight. But the reality is that sin has destroyed much of this world. Sin has destroyed human lives. Sin has destroyed this beautiful, awesome creation that God has given to us. We just think it's there to consume. How about we step back for one moment and just look at it and think, "God, it's beautiful. The leaves, flowers, the trees, the rivers, the valleys. The oceans roaring, the mountains awesome, beautiful." We don't take time to recognize in all of this the awesomeness of God's creation, and yet still we go on and we are destroyed. Something is out of kilter, fundamentally disharmonious with what life should and can be. We know this. Now, we were created to live. Adam and Chava at the very beginning, they knew no death at the beginning. It was something completely alien to them. They were created to live. They were created to have life. It's why the scriptures say choose life. Because that is what we're meant to have, who we're meant to be. To reflect the very essence of who God is. There is no death nor sin in Adonai. So anathema just does not exist in him. There's nothing to him. We understand what that is, but we are meant to reflect him. There's meant to be that life, eternal life, yes, in us that is his. And yet we look around at the death, the violence, the hatred, the unbridled sin that is causing so much harm. And it's that sheer ubiquitousness of sin that is so depressing. It is everywhere. I say it's depressing because honestly, if you stood for a moment and just looked at it all, you would literally despair of life itself. You would think, how on earth will this change? The sheer saddening, deadly reality of its effects and consequences that we all live with daily and constantly around us. And maybe it's a good thing that we only really dwell upon this once a year, but we must talk about it. To ignore it is deception and irresponsible. It is a reality of human existence. But as the years have ticked by, and I have a few now stacked up, I'm presented again and again with one single repeating thought and pattern in my mind that comes through more and more and more. I keep coming back to it because it's something which is so powerful as a revelation in all of this. The enemy, Hasatan, has no power over us. It is we who choose to sin. If we could only get hold of this reality in our lives. Oh, we know the enemy pushes in hard sometimes. We know he dresses it all up in ever which way. But ultimately, we cross that line. We cannot go before Adonai and say, the enemy made us sin. It was Hasatan, his fault. I didn't want to, but he made me sin. God will have none of it. He has given us that choice. And therefore, the enemy has no power to make you sin and rebel against God. It is not Hasatan that is doing this in you. It is we who choose that path. And sometimes we excuse it. We dress it up in semi-righteous language. Sometimes the intention is sound, but it is still sin and it causes destruction wherever we go. Oh yeah, the enemy is very good at getting us to do his dirty work. We do it on his behalf, and sadly we do it willingly. And that harm and the damage inflicted on ourselves and the lives around us is tragic. And yet, like lemmings running over a cliff, we continue like it's in fashion. And nothing is going to stop us. You'd think we'd learn, but no. We get up and we do it all over again. We hurt and defeat ourselves in sin. We hurt ourselves, defeat ourselves by every sin that we commit. We are bringing ourselves down, demeaning the image of God in ourselves, creating problems in our mind, in our bodies, in our spirits. Each and every time we choose to take that path, we hurt ourselves. We hurt and defeat our communities. We hurt and defeat our friends. We hurt and defeat our nations, and we hurt and defeat humanity in general. Every time we choose to go down that path, we bring in that hurt and pain and harm and defeat, and we do it again and again and again. Because that is what sin is. And now, of course, we step back afterwards and we go, Lord, forgive me, look what I did to that person. I hurt them with my words. I did X and I hurt them by my actions. Lord, have mercy and forgive me. But we struggle to stop. We're like an alcoholic reaching for the bottle that we feel addicted to. And we're addicted to sin and we think we cannot stop. We need just one more glass. And this is, I think, where the picture for us begins to get quite an interesting pattern that the Torah paints for us, an interesting image. Because there's a tension in the Torah on this, and it's a tension which we're going to explore. It's a tension which, if we understand what God is saying through this, you know, whenever there's a tension in the scriptures, we have to put the two things that are in tension side by side and explain it and understand it and try to see what God is doing. If we do this, we get a deeper picture, more of an image of truth and reality in how we are dealing with sin and with its effects on our lives. And it begins in Exodus 34 in verse 7. Description of who God is. It says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Amen. Hallelujah. I wish it stopped there, but it doesn't. by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Ouch. What do you do with something like that? God is going to visit not just sin on your life. He's not going to just visit the consequences of your sin on your life. You are experiencing the sins of your parents, your grandparents, and your great-grandparents. That is affecting you. That is how deep this rabbit hole goes. It is serious. The ripples of sin go out to untold generations who suffer the consequences of your sin. Your children and their children and their children, according to the scriptures, will be affected by sins that you are committing. Now you think it's serious. Bad enough that we would be affected by it. Bad enough that sin would wreck our lives and the consequences of it. It doesn't stop there. It's four generations that get affected by the sin that ripples out from things that we do, say, and act. You may think the sin only impacts your life. It does not. It touches others' lives too. They didn't do the original sin. You did. And yet they are suffering because of it. It's serious. And you can say, yes, but Rabbi, I will repent. I can repent of my sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Repent. Please do. But even if you repent, the consequences remain. Once that stone is dropped into the water and as ripples go out, you can think, Lord, please go back. Let me grab that stone and take it out the middle of the water again. You may do so, but those ripples will continue to hit the banks. They're going to keep going because you set something in motion. And it breaks my heart because every day I see the consequences of sin and it runs out of control. One little word, one little statement, one little comment to something, one act that was done just brusquely or rushly or harshly or something that you maybe didn't mean to be as nasty, but it came out that way and the damage is done and it is rippling out and touching people and it causes harm in people's lives. And as we've already said, the reality is, the actuality of it is there's no need for it. There's no need for it. We, of all people, as renewed creations in Adonai through Yeshua Mashiachenu, we of all people should at that moment when our mouths are about to go open and come out with something sarcastic or something nasty or something condemning someone or attacking someone, and we of all people at that moment should be the ones that should be able to put a filter up in our mouths and think, is this going to be helpful? Will this lift the other person up? Will it encourage them or will it condemn them and crush them? Will it cause harm or will it bring good? We of all people should be able to go through that process and make those decisions and choices. And praise God, I know for many of you, we get better at this year on year. I know we do. But I know it because I see the spiritual progress in your life. I see it in my own life. Praise God, we are moving forward. But this is not to make you feel relaxed and think, hallelujah, I'm okay then. No, there's still more to come where you've got to learn. You've got to change. You've got to rely more on the Ruach in you to bring that change in our lives. To deflect sin and stop it in its tracks and stop the harm that goes with it. Imagine for one moment, think of it this way. God wants to use you as a servant of the Most High. It is sin that stops you from fully functioning in that role. Imagine if you didn't sin. Imagine what God can do with you. Imagine the people you could reach, the message you could bring, the force of transformation that would be in your life that would touch others' lives. If the ripples of sin go out, then the ripples of righteousness go out too, to touch and change other people's lives. Thankfully, there is a tension in this picture. And the scripture doesn't leave us with what on the face of it might appear to be a hopeless, helpless situation of damage and harm that goes all the way through. I'm going to read to you just a little bit here from Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is chapter 31, picking up from 29. It's quite an interesting little verse tucked away in here, just before the renewed covenant. Jeremiah 31, 29, 30. In those days they shall no more say, as in a proverbial way, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. It's a good little proverb. Effectively means exactly the same thing as what we've just said there, that the ripples reach out through generations. It goes on to say, but everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. So what's going on? We've got a tension here, haven't we? And of course we know that our opponents would look at this and go, ah, contradiction! It's not a contradiction. Not at all a contradiction. This is not what's going on here. In all of this, the ripples of sin do go out and touch multiple generations. But here Adonai says, the important thing is that we understand every single one person dies for their sin. Ezekiel 18 has exactly the same message in all of this. The tension between the soul that sins shall surely die, personal responsibility, and the generational ripples of sins impact community, collective punishment, if you want to call it that. The tension between these two take us to a place of understanding of the power of redemption and salvation, if we understand what God is saying. And this is why the tension is so powerful on a day like this. We actually see this pattern reflected again and again through the Torah and through the scriptures. Unfettered sin, left untouched and further lived out, built upon, as some of the ancient kings of Israel did, doing as their fathers did and worse, as we read in the book of Kings and Chronicles, incrementally destroys a nation, destroys families, communities, and ultimately destroys you. The ripples of that sin, unfettered, untouched, unchallenged, and but even further lived out, as it were, in a proactive way, those ripples go on and they literally impact upon generation and generation and generation. Exactly as Adonai says at the beginning there, Exodus. The ripples do go out as each generation becomes more evil, more wicked, more despicable, more rebellious against God, because what they have learnt from their fathers, who learnt from their fathers, they are now doing, and more so. I have to say this, today we are in this situation in the West. We're there right now. We are reaping what generations have sown. That verse there we said, Exodus 34:7, about how the ripples go through the generations. Right now we are experiencing it. And that is why God's judgment is falling on the earth right now. Because it rolls up and gets bigger and bigger until a moment in time when the Lord can no longer ignore it. It is so huge before his eyes. Just as it was in the days of Noah, it gets to the point and God says enough. There is no change. The ripples of sin, the impact of it go out. The consequences of one person's sin, magnified through the generations, rips a nation apart, rips families apart, rips communities apart. And the collective ripples cause such harm and destruction that destruction completely is inevitable ultimately. It is coming. As much as night follows day, it is coming, and it is. Every one of you, every single one is responsible for their own choices, but the context is so often blinds us to what is really going on. We just say, oh, it's stacked against me, life is tough, our world is difficult, I have to be like this. No, you do not. Make your choices. It may ultimately, in an evil and wicked generation, it may actually even lead to your death, but so be it. If that is what the cost is. But the good news that comes out through this tension, when you put these verses together, the generational ripples over against the one who dies and sins themselves dying in this way. Put these together, a wonderful, beautiful truth comes out. And we see this also in the Kings and Chronicles. We see this pattern again being reflected. Because what the scriptures say to us is that the outcomes can be changed. The consequences can be changed. The sin itself is like the stone in the middle of the pond. That's done. That's a reality. But the ripples can be modified. The ripples can be toned down. The ripples can be changed. Well, I suggest to you that if you've grown up in an abusive, toxic family, or maybe even possibly that one of your parents was maybe abusive and toxic, it's very difficult for the children, and therefore for the children with their children, to break generational patterns of sin, abuse, and toxicity. We see it everywhere in our generation. In our time now, we see this. The good news is, if you have parents who become believers, parents who convert to Judaism, parents who understand true Torah righteousness in this way, then the pattern and impact of generational sin can be changed. The impact needn't be as harsh. When you wake up one morning and think, my mum was like this, or my dad was like this, and that day you choose before Adonai, I will not be like that. My life will not be reflected by that sin and harm and toxicity. I choose today not to be like that. At that moment, a chain is broken. At that moment, history changes. The ripples of the generations begin to change at that moment. And this is why I'm so excited about seeing this tension today and what it means. Because it proves to us that it isn't set in stone, the consequences and the harm and damage. The power of God can change history if we let him. We do not have to be a slave to the previous generations. The effects of this can change, and you can be the agent of change in your generation to make sure that your children are not going to be affected in the way that you were. And maybe even your parents were, and their family and everything else which has gone on in the past. We choose, we have the power of choice, and in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh in our lives, that day we make a choice decision and we choose not to let sin ripple out in our family and make future different. For those who choose to change, stop the ripples as best they can to bring righteousness now into others' lives and their own, rather than the damage and the harm that they have learned and been taught. Those who choose life, not death, for themselves and their community, they can limit the effects of sin and do good and magnify the righteousness of Adonai in your own life and family life and community life and nation's life. We can choose to do this and break the chains of the past and the ripples and the impacts and the generational consequences of sin. We can choose to be different. We don't have to schlep that around with us. We don't have to let that affect the next generation. We can shield them, teach them differently, teach them the righteous ways of Adonai in faith, and let them not be affected by the damage and harm. I guarantee you, on your dying day, if you have succeeded in this, you will look at your children And you will praise God that maybe you in your life, you know, you experienced the healing of Adonai, but the consequences of your parents' sin and the nonsense and the messes they went through and the consequences of our nation's sin, which has harmed us and damaged us and everything else, in that moment that you go, at least, Lord God, I can see in my children, I did not pass it on. Hallelujah. Because they will be free in ways that you were not. This is the power of God. This is the power of God that turns around a nation and can turn around a nation. The sins of the fathers need not affect the children if you choose to correct and restore truth, righteousness, justice, and mercy to the next generation. It need not affect them in this way. Things can change. They need not suffer the collective punishment, which maybe we should rephrase this as not so much collective punishment as collective inheritance of sin and its effects. They need not experience the pain of this in the ways that you did. The ripples can be stopped, they can be slowed, they can be changed, they can be brought down, the amplification. We saw this in Josiah's day, didn't we? King Josiah, one of the greatest righteous kings of Israel. The Lord was about to move in judgment in the generation of Josiah. But Josiah goes into the temple. You know, he sees the scroll is presented to him. And he reads the scroll and he weeps before God because he realizes the conviction of God is upon him. Because he says, our nation has sinned. We have walked contrary to you. And he sets about doing what? Ripping down the wrong altars, the Ashtaroth poles, the Baalim, and all the, he goes out in the country and he begins to destroy it all, and he begins to teach and preach the Torah, and he brings the people back to Adonai, and a revival breaks out in Israel at that point. And you know what the Lord did? He didn't just say, too late, mate, the generations have gone before you, look at their sin, I promised that I would visit on the third, fourth, fifth, sixth generation. Sorry, I, it's nice that you're doing this, but no, it's going to hit you anyway. No! The Lord stops the judgment absolute dead in its tracks, stops it in Josiah's generation. And you know what? It was multiple generations from Josiah onwards before ultimately God moved in judgment upon the southern kingdom. That's how powerful it was. One man. And granted, he was the king. But one man's choice that day to stop sin and stand for righteousness and teach it, live it, and preach it. One man changes the future history of a nation and deflects the judgment of God. That's how powerful your choices are today and tomorrow and next week. That's how powerful your choices are. You can change the future history of your family. Right now, you can change the future history of your family. Because you can choose to do what God says. We as a community can choose today to change the future of Judaism. The future of our nation, Israel. Future of this nation that hosts us. We could choose today to change that future by choices that we make, decisions that we have. We can change what is coming. We can stop God's judgment by many generations. And here comes the nub of it all in conclusion of all of this. Our lives, our community does not need to be hallmarked by sin and harm. You know this year that's passed. You know if you've stepped over the line. You know if you've done something, said something, been a part of something which has caused harm personally to others, to the community in general. You know, I'm not interested. You know, God knows. It doesn't need to be like that this next year. It doesn't. It doesn't need to be like that. Well, I know there are times when the enemy pushes in and he drives that pneumatic drill right into that sore point in our lives that is our weakness, and it's pain, and we react. And I know that happens. It happens to me too. I'm not immune to that. But at those moments, we do have a choice. We do. We either yield our bodies to righteousness, or we yield our lives to the enemy and his purposes. But that is our choice. Whichever one we choose will have consequences on ourselves, on others, on the community, in the wider world. But if you know what the enemy's plan is, what I'm trying to get to into your mind this morning, I'm thinking, is if you know what the enemy's plan is to bring harm and destruction, if you know what it is, you can resist it. The scriptures say, resist the devil and he will flee from you, because he realizes the game is up. But it only happens, you can only resist something that you are cognizant of, that you recognize what it is and the pattern of it, because it's happened so many times. If you recognize it and you see something kicking off again in your life and you recognize it, resist it at that moment. Actively, we're meant to respond in resistance. And if we do that, it's like the enemy sliding down the wall. He's got nowhere to hold. He's just going to slide straight down and be gone. He will flee from you. At that moment, you know, we can then be the light that we need to be in this increasingly chaotic, dark, lost and evil world. A wonderful, powerful message over all of this, with the tensions there that we've seen today, of what we can be as a community, is things can change. Never think you can't change. Never think that you're so far from God that it can't change. Things can. Always, 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 things can change. Never think they can't. That's a lie of the enemy. They can change. You may need some restructuring of your lives, rethinking of certain things that dominate your thought world or your actions. Yes, change needs to happen, but if we yield to Adonai, we will see his will in our lives more and more and more, and that surely is what we want to see. And through the mighty name of Yeshua, through the power of his resurrection and sacrifice, they will change in us, each and every one of us, if we let him. So stop fighting him. Stop rebelling. Choose the path that you know he has put before you. And keep that image in your minds. Just imagine what you could do for God if you lived in a sinless way. Just imagine. Keep that image in your head. Imagine the effect you would have in people's lives. How much more of the power of God you would bring into people's lives if you actually got into that place to live and walk in that place of righteousness. The change would be like dynamite in this world. And we need to see that spiritual dynamite. We do. This world needs to see it, because it is lost, deeply lost, and doesn't know the way forward. Everything this world has tried has crumbled before its eyes. And it is still utter chaos out there. And we have an answer. We have a solution. And that answer and that solution has a name. Yeshua Mashiach.